The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing excellent. How are you?
Good. Did you happen to catch the Masters Sunday?
Just on Sunday. Yeah, just on Sunday. It was an awesome Masters event.
That really was something, wasn't it? I mean, it was perfectly set up for CBS.
Yeah.
With Mickelson and Tiger.
Yes, yes.
Coming up from behind. That was quite a thing to watch.
And I hear they don't like each other too much.
Maybe not.
Okay.
But, I mean, they were starting this miraculous comeback, and then all of a sudden, well, Mickelson, he misses three putts in a row. He makes these great approach shots. He's 3 feet, 4 feet, 6 feet away from the pin. Missed three in a row. Was like, was it 15, 16, 17 or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. And he said he just wasn't sure. He wasn't confident enough to make the strong putt. And it looked like one putt, you could tell.
It was almost a gimme.
One putt, you could tell he just wasn't sure because he just dribbled it, right, Pat? I'm like, you can't dribble a putt like that. I understand you're putting on concrete, very tough greens to putt with, but you have to have some sort of confidence.
Right. How can you be a pro otherwise?
Right.
You got to have confidence in your putting.
Absolutely.
And then Tiger, again, when the only flaw of Tiger ever has is sometimes he tries too hard at the tee.
Yep.
He tries to get that extra 5 yards out of it or 10 yards out of it, and he ends up in the rough or in the woods, and that killed him.
Angel Cabrera, he did a good job out of the rough underneath those trees on the first, what do you call it, an overtime hole?
Yeah, we had dinner at that point. So
his drive shot went into the woods. It fell straight. It was right behind a tree. I thought there's no way. He had an awesome second shot and a third shot on the green, put it in for par, and he moved on. So,
Oh, I'm glad to see these pros aren't always, but Arno, I think it was Cabrera earlier, actually shanked a drive.
Yeah, I can do that.
You know?
Definitely I can do that.
So, yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good tournament. Like I said, I only watched on Sunday when I had a couple of hours to sit and actually watch the TV. So, it was a good tournament.
Yep. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
So, all right, let's move on. Corned beef hash recipe. That's not for this show.
No?
I made it actually from scratch.
Oh, I'll take that
brunch
recipe, though.
It was really good.
I'm sure it was.
Fantastic.
Good eating there.
Okay. I don't think last week we talked, because I think this happened after, or I didn't find out about it till after. There was a guy after, you know, the Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty, they had this rally in St. Louis last weekend. Mm-hmm. And one of the organizers of the events, when he was going to go home from St. Louis, and if you recall, Missouri is that state where they had that report out to police and other law enforcement officials about, you know, watching out for libertarians and constitutionalists and Ron Paul people that, you know, because they might be terrorists or whatever.
Right, right, right.
So he's leaving St. Louis for a flight, and he got detained.
Oh, no.
By TSA. And he was one of the organizers, so he sold, like, T-shirts or whatever, and he was carrying, you know, like $4,700 on him.
Sure.
And a bunch of checks. And so, evidently, TSA found out he's carrying this money, and they detain him and they ask him where he got the money. What business is that?
It is no business.
Of the government.
It's not.
And he remained really cool. The real cool thing is he has one of these new cell phones whereby you just kind of scratch your shirt or something like that or the right spot, and he was able to record.
Oh, nice.
This 23-minute detaining process. And they kept on saying, well, come on, just tell us where is. And I says, can you ask me by what authority? By what authority do I have to answer your questions?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they don't have any authority to force him to answer any questions. But they really try to browbeat him. And they finally threaten him with taking him to the FBI and the DEA. Maybe they'll get some answers out of you. And, the guy said, fine, you want to take me to them? Maybe they'll have an answer to my question of whether or not I'm forced to answer your questions.
Right, right.
And and this evidently, this video, and he was interviewed on the Judge Napolitano webcast, and that video on YouTube has gone viral. It's all over the place. But apparently at the end of the 23 minutes when they were supposedly about to take him to the DEA, FBI, some plainclothes guy, FBI, come up and just whispers to him, let him go.
Oh, really?
So they did let him go.
Okay, okay.
But evidently they didn't get the memo that you're not supposed to be detaining these constitutional types anymore or whatever. Or it could be just what's really scary. Actually, what I think what it really is, I don't think they were profiling at all. I think if you're caught with more money than they think you should have, you are expected to be a drug dealer.
Or something.
And prove otherwise. Because there have been instances in the past where people have been... There was a landscape businessman years back who had like $10,000 confiscated from him.
Really?
From some local authority of law enforcement officials. Because they somehow, it's not constitutional, but by some law, they can assume that it's illicit gains from drugs. Well, this is the United States of America. It's just really outrageous. And again, I just can't believe people take this. Lying down, mm-hmm. which brings me to an announcement I wanted to make. Coming this Wednesday, April 15th,
mm-hmm.
Big Chicago Tea Party. There's going to be a bunch of them around, but I think most of us are going to go downtown, 12 noon, to the Kleczynski Federal Building. The location's been changed. That's why another reason I'm making the announcement. The location has been changed from the Daily Center, although there might be something going on there, too. But I think the main event is going to be at the Federal Building. That's at 230 South Dearborn at noon, folks. So make your presence known, especially now since we've heard that Acorn is going to try to disrupt the event.
I heard that this morning, too, yeah.
Oh, I did?
Yep.
So that could be interesting. Although I really don't think they're going to pose much of a threat, but we'll see. We will see. Of course, Acorn is all in favor of the stimulus package because mm-hmm. they're getting millions from it.
Sure, sure.
Which is, again, so outrageous in and of itself. What else is going on? The war on home-based businesses. Unbeknownst to, I think, a lot of people. There's been one law already passed and one law pending that's really, really scary to your average Joe or Joan. Home business person. The first one's the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, and I believe this is the one that has been passed. anyone who makes any home crafts from furniture to clothing has to spend exorbitant sums of money to test the product and ensure that the amount of lead in it is safely under the legal limit, even if there was no lead involved
in the
process.
Right, right.
Even if the yarn that you bought has already been tested for no lead,
mm-hmm.
you make a scarf, then you have to go through this expensive process to prove that there's no lead in it.
Really?
And this is going to destroy home-based businesses of this type. The only exception is the rule is that it may be theoretically possible to say that the product is not primarily intended for children. But then you have to do extensive market research to prove that.
Wow.
It's just absurd. Wow. The next one's even scarier. I don't think this one has passed yet, and it may require some lobbying of Congress. But I have a hard time believing that they're that stupid to pass this law, because I think there would be people way up in arms on this one. This is the Food Safety Modernization Act, and it would destroy the family farm if it's passed. And organic farms. It is officially targeted at organic farms, requiring them to use commercial fertilizers.
What?
And pesticides that organic, obviously, that organic farmers don't use.
Come on,
or they wouldn't
now.
Be organic, would
right,
it?
Right.
Anyone who sells any excess produce, as family farmers often do,
uh-huh.
are subject to this law. as though family farms now become commercial farms. This bill also includes standard for feed of livestock. Standards include standards for feed of livestock. Creates a Food Safety Administration within the Department of Health and Human Services that tracks the DNA of food products, which would be of great benefit to the primary lobbyists in favor of this bill, Monsanto, a huge food conglomerate.
You're kidding me.
Oh, no. This is what always happens, and what I have the biggest argument with statist liberals about this, because they think what we need is big government to keep the bad corporations down. They always think that for somehow the little people will take control of government and keep the big guys down. It doesn't work that way, folks. They spend all the money lobbying, these congressmen, and these congressmen pass laws all the time that increases regulations that they can handle. The big guys can handle. The little guy can't compete. He can't challenge with these kind of regulations. And so what you'll end up with is just all corporate farms, folks, if this law passes.
With pesticides and corporate fertilizers.
Right! And see, that'd be so unpopular, I can't believe it'll pass. But
how could it?
There are a lot of people scared about this thing.
I am now. I am now one of those people. So you're telling me there's going to be no more, if this passes through, there's going to be no more roadside Tom's.
I don't see how they possibly could do it.
Tom's Fresh Market on the side of the road in Huntley, that's not going to be around anymore?
I don't see how they could survive. Oh, and follow the so-called law, which is unconstitutional. I think if I were them, I'd just ignore the law and see everybody in court. Because, and that's my favorite. I live not too far from Klein's there on Route 20.
Sure.
And it's a real wholesome, good feeling to go to this local produce people and buy their own stuff. And it's better tasting, too.
Of course it is. And it helps out the local economy. Right. It helps out the local farmer. They work their butts off all year long.
Sure.
And they're not looking to make a huge profit. They're just looking to share some of their great-tasting food.
Yeah, and make a living.
Yeah.
You know? But the corporate, again, you statist liberals out there, you know, he's like the... Knock some heads into them.
Man.
Some sense into their heads, I should say. You're never going to win by enlisting government to help you against the big guys. The big guys have the congressman in their palm of their hands.
In their back pocket, in their back wallet.
Yeah. And if you have ever seen the musical Little Abner, it's time for you to check that out, because that's a lot of it is just about that. And that was written by Al Capp back in the 50s or earlier.
Hmm.
Man. I don't know how people, again, I don't see how they just stand by and let this crap go on. Well, again, if you're up mad as hell about this kind of stuff, about the income tax, about the Federal Reserve, about all these laws that benefit corporations at the expense of the little guy, bailing out the bankers while the taxpayers get the shaft, it's time to stand up for it and get out to the federal building Wednesday at noon. And let's get out there by the thousands, folks, and show some support for freedom and some ire against the government. Speaking of the income tax, we're going to have a hero interview him today. His name's Tom Cryer. Mike has been asking for years, I think, to get him on. We finally got him on.
Good.
He beat the federal government on the income tax charge, on two charges of willful failure file. We're going to talk to him and ask him how he did it and what the status is of the anti-tax movement in this country. And we will do that right after a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program right now, I would say an American hero, a hero for freedom, Mr. Tom Cryer. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. And you?
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time. I'm not getting... Can you repeat that, sir?
I'm doing fine. And how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm sorry. I didn't have my volume turned up here. I couldn't hear you. Great. Okay. So you defeated the federal government, the Justice Department, the income tax, the IRS, with 2 counts of failure to file, I believe. I think maybe I'd just like to ask you to tell your story, maybe in 5 to 10 minutes, if you can, exactly what happened, how you came to win, and what your belief is on the legality of the income tax in this country.
Well, the 5 to 10 minute version is that basically, back in 93 or so, a good friend of mine, during just a casual conversation, mentioned that he no longer filed income tax returns. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I'm not required to. It's voluntary because there's no statute that makes me liable. And only people who are liable are required to file a return. And I told him, George, I said, you know, you got to be nuts. And he said, no, he was dead serious. Well, I felt his forehead. He wasn't running a high temperature. I looked at his eyes. They were neither diluted or pinpointed. And he was serious. And I said, George, I said, there has to be a liability provision. You can't have a tax without a provision that says exactly who is required to write the check. Otherwise, you don't get any money in. And he said, well, that's it. I said, well, and that's where I make my mistake. I said, okay, I'll find the liability provision for you, and I'll show it to you so that you'll start resuming filing your taxes and stay out of trouble. Well, lo and behold, it didn't turn out the way I thought it would. There is no liability provision that applies to us. There is a liability provision. The liability provision applies only to people required to withhold taxes on non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. Now, that's why they call it a citizen's income tax return. The 1040 is called an individual income tax return form. And individuals, when you really drill down and find out what an individual really is a non-resident alien or a foreign corporation.
Now, there are those who would say, if what you say is true, then why wouldn't just Congress just change the law to make sure it covers it?
Well, you see, that cost me 2 years of research to find out exactly the answer to that question, because it didn't make sense to me. I had drafted tax laws before. In fact,
and maybe we should point out that you're a practicing attorney in Louisiana, and I believe you graduated with honors from LSU. Is that right?
I was an honor graduate from LSU Law School. I was inducted into the Order of the Coif, which is the highest scholastic honor that could be bestowed. And 12 years later, I was inducted into the LSU Law School Hall of Fame.
Okay, so you got a few credentials there. Okay, go ahead.
So, I had drafted tax laws before, and it's essential to have in there, and it couldn't have been overlooked. So, and I couldn't understand why everybody out there is paying taxes whenever there's no statute saying that. Why are all these so-called high-powered tax attorneys running around not screaming? Hey, hold it, why are all these CPAs and the so-called tax experts acting as though there is a liability provision? And of course, there is a self-interest there, but it just, how could anybody miss this? So I spent 2 years researching, and I found out that basically we're outside the federal government's taxing authority for a number of reasons. And so in order to tax us, they have to pretend it has to be voluntary, because they cannot impose a mandatory tax, for one thing. If they imposed a mandatory tax, it would have to be apportioned to the states. And in addition to that, since the tax has to be on an activity, because I know I'm getting technical here.
It's okay.
But since the tax has to be on an activity, and we look at the activity they're taxing for you and me, people who work for a living, what they're taxing is our exercising a right to earn a living through our own labor. And when I say right, I'm not talking about a right under a contract, and I'm not talking about a right that the government has bestowed upon us. I'm talking about a fundamental, God-given, unalienable right.
It stems from the right to life, all right?
Exactly. The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is part of the pursuit of happiness right referred to by Thomas Jefferson. And there are some 50 Supreme Court cases that spell it out, that this is a fundamental right. It's not just an adjunct or a privilege. Well, they can only tax privileges. If they could tax rights, they could destroy rights, because the power to tax is the power to destroy.
Congress shall make no law is in virtually every first of the 10 amendments, right?
Yeah. But they cannot tax a right. If they can't tax your freedom of speech.
No,
they can't put a tax collector out in front of a church, and say $10 going to church tax, please. They can't do that. They can't put a tax collector in front of the polls and say we've got a poll tax, because that's been outlawed.
Right.
We have a right to earn a living through our own labor, at any chosen occupation, lawful occupation, that we select, and that is our God-given right that is beyond their right to tax. And so if we could make income, and we don't, if we could get income out of working and exchanging our labor for money, it would be exempt. And then you look on the other side, and what we receive for our labor, according to the IRS, is 100% profit. They say that our labor is worthless.
Right.
All right. Now, they call it a zero basis, but there is zero basis in law for their zero basis policy. There's no law. Now, you can go to the IRS, and I invite people to do this. Go to the IRS.gov website and do a search there for frivolous arguments. And it'll pull up all the frivolous arguments that the Internal Revenue Service claims that they have refuted. Now, there are three of them you won't find there. One of them is that there is no law imposing liability on us. It's not there. It's not among all the frivolous arguments that they say they've refuted. Now, if it's not among their list of frivolous arguments, that can only mean one thing, that it isn't frivolous. The second one that you can look for is to find any argument there that they have refuted stating that the treatment of our gross receipts is any different from treatment of anybody else's, like Exxon or Walmart's gross receipts, is baseless, without any basis in law. In other words, that our labor is worth something. It is our property. And the Supreme Court has held that, too. It's held that the Supreme Court has held that not only is labor our property, it is our most sacred and inviolable of property, because it is the property from which all wealth derives. Now, if we trade our property for money, that can't be 100% profit. But they can't say what percentage it is, because you don't know whether somebody's being overpaid, underpaid. So they can't establish a specific sum to say this is your profit. And if they can't show that you've got a profit, they can't show you have income, because income is only profit. If you decide to treat Walmart's gross receipts that way, they'd stop making Tinker toys and start making tanks.
So you, evidently the Justice Department disagreed with your learned viewpoint on this, and they indicted you for not only willful failure to file, but I understand tax evasion.
They indicted me for evasion. Then they added two counts of willful failure to file for the same years.
Which is misdemeanor, but willful failure is a misdemeanor, right?
Right.
Tax evasion is a felony.
But in this case, it would have been 2 years in prison.
Right.
And that's a serious misdemeanor.
Yes, definitely.
And disbarment.
Right.
You know, and all the marbles were in the ring. And they disagreed, but they couldn't come up with anything to refute any of that. They couldn't come up with a statute that made me liable. They couldn't. The judge couldn't do it. Nobody could. Justice Department, IRS, nobody could come up and say, here's a statute that makes you liable. Because there is none. And they couldn't come up with any basis to show that I had received income. And if I had, they could not refute the fact that income produced by my engaging and the exercise of a fundamental, God-given, constitutionally protected, tax-exempt right is tax-exempt income according to the law.
So it came to trial, and evidently the government figured out that they couldn't come up with anything as far as tax evasion?
And they realized, you see, evasion is basically a failure to file or a filing with a false return with an act, an affirmative act of evasion. They claimed that a trust that I had created for my disabled wife was an act of evasion, and whatever I showed them that they had been lying about and committed perjury before the grand jury about the fact that that trust had hidden income, because it not only did not have income, it had losses both of those years. So that they were actually committing perjury when they said they knew that the trust was productive of income and hid it. Then they didn't have an act of evasion. So without an act of evasion, they backed off on the morning of the trial. They backed off to failure to file.
Okay, so you go to trial on failure to file. And what were you able to do? Did you have another attorney defending you, or did you defend yourself?
Absolutely. Any lawyer who represents himself as a fool or a client.
I've heard that. You lawyers stick together on that one all the time.
Well, you know, it is true.
Okay.
You know, you've got 1,000 decisions have to be made during the course of a trial, and they need to be made objectively. You cannot make objective decisions when your titty is in a ringer.
Okay.
Excuse my French, but... You know, when you are the one that's in that hunt seat, you cannot trust your own objectivity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So how did your attorney approach this? How was he able to convince the jury?
Well, we had the trial mapped out. I had the strategy laid out, and we had all agreed on everything that we were going to do. And basically, all that I was permitted to do Every one of my exhibits was rejected by the court. The court called it tax protester materials, but 90% of it came from the government. Yeah. Now, the government's producing tax protester materials. You know, is the government a subversive organization? You know, yes, it is.
Well, yeah.
But for different reasons.
Right.
So I sat there for 2 or 3 hours and explained how I came to find out all these things about the income tax law and why, because I had sworn to support the law of the Constitution, I didn't feel I had any choice other than to stand up and call them out on it. And even if it meant, you know, a catastrophic result, I didn't have any choice. I'd made that decision 25 years earlier. And the jury didn't take very long. And, of course, when they came back that quick, it scared the dickens out of us because, you know, a quick jury is not good news for
a
defendant.
No, normally for a defendant, no.
And they came back, and it was not guilty on the first one, and I'm still holding my breath, and then not guilty on the second one. And at that time, finally, I was able to breathe. But needless to say, my pucker factor was pegged out at that point. But and since then, I've devoted myself to getting this beast off of everybody else's back. Now, there's still...
Well, before we get to that, I just want to clarify. So you were able to present to the jury... all your research into all this and your state of mind that you did not believe, you could not see through your research how you were required to file or pay.
Well, actually, I went a little farther than that. I told them that based upon my research, I did follow the law particularly, and I could not, no matter what I did with the law, stretch the liability provisions of the tax to me. I also couldn't stretch income and the constitutional definition of income as defined by the Supreme Court to include what I had received. And, see, the tax is only on taxable income. So it's not on something that isn't income, and it's not on something that isn't taxable. And I could not stretch, no matter how I tried, the federal government's taxing authority to anything that I do. And so, I mean, I'm following the law. The law tells me to exclude anything that isn't income, and the law tells me to exclude anything that isn't taxable. And everything, I don't have anything that's income, and I don't have anything that's taxable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I couldn't pull that blanket up over my ankles, let alone up around my neck. You know, so that's how basically it came down.
So we still have millions of Americans filing and paying income taxes.
Millions of them, and they're doing it thinking that they're following the law, and what they're really doing is making a donation. They're making a voluntary contribution. Now, the next question...
That's what Rockefeller says, too. I was searching for the show today, a quotation on income taxes, and I came one by, I forget if it was David or Nelson or Rockefeller, but he actually says, I don't know if it was a jest or not, I don't really owe any taxes, I just contribute to the government every once in a while.
Yeah.
So even the Rockefellers know it, I guess. I don't know.
But, you know, the next question is, should people stop filing? And I say the answer to that question is yes, but not now.
Okay.
Right now, you know, when you go into the cave, the beast has the upper hand.
Yes.
You cannot go one-on-one with a monster that big. That's the most... Between the IRS and the federal government and the Fed, that is the most dangerous and the most powerful organization, and the most ruthless organization in the world.
Absolutely.
I was asking a German news agency interview whether I would compare the IRS to the mafia, because one of Erwin Schiff wrote a book called The Federal Mafia.
Right.
And I said, there are comparisons in that they're both organizations. They both engage in criminal activity. They both use extortion and force and violence in order to achieve their ends. But I don't think that the comparison is fair, because there are a whole lot more people that are victims of and afraid of the IRS that the mafia ever could dream about.
And there's probably some honor amongst the mafia. You know.
There may be some honor. I have not found any honor among the Internal Revenue Service, other than one exception. and that exception would be Joe Bannister.
Joe Bannister. He did the same thing you did. He was arresting people, actually. And
yes, he was a decorated Criminal Investigations Division of the Internal Revenue Service special agent, gun toting, badge flashing agent, and he set out to debunk these claims, and he just like I did, and it didn't turn out the way he thought it would. And he had a crisis of integrity, a crisis, an ethical and moral crisis,
right,
because he had taken essentially the same oath that I had. The only difference is that I had also taken an additional oath as an officer of the United States Army to die for the Constitution if I had to.
Hmm.
You know, and he decided that his integrity was worth more than his career to him. And he quit.
And they went after him, and he beat him.
Well, they went after him.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
They tried to charge him with crimes, and he was acquitted, and rightly so. But right now, the number of people are being convicted because juries don't realize that there's a legitimate issue. You know, everybody knows the earth is flat. And they burn anybody who says otherwise.
Right. Absolutely. And we have to say, even some of these leaders, and you were successful, and Bannister was successful.
Sherry Jackson.
Sherry Jackson was not so fortunate.
Former IRS auditor who learned the truth.
Right.
And she was not as fortunate. And that's one of the problems that we have is that juries don't realize that there's a legitimate issue about this out there, and they're not allowed to see the law. And if they did look at it, you cannot, in one sitting, you cannot take it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, most juries think that these trials on tax crimes come down to who's right. And so they're not going to say the government is wrong because they don't understand the whole picture. And so they just convict the guy because he was wrong. Well, that's not the issue.
Correct.
The issue is whether he's a criminal.
Right, and what you say, I think, is true, is that you really have to research this stuff. But and the IRS probably considers this frivolous, but nobody has still logically explained to me how I can file an income tax return without waiving my Fifth Amendment right to be a witness against myself.
Well, you have done just that. And basically, now the courts have gotten around that by saying that, you know, you haven't waived your Fifth Amendment rights unless you were engaging in some, you know, illegal activity.
That's not what the Constitution says, though.
That's right. That's not what it says. And the courts, since the splenectomy, what I call the Supreme Court splenectomy in 1933, the court says what it's told to say.
By whom?
By the powers that be. I don't want to sound like some sort of conspiracy theorist, but I'm firmly convinced that 1913 had a lot of events that all occurred at the same time, and I don't think they were coincidental.
No.
You had the Federal Reserve Act.
Right.
They created the Federal Reserve, which is now manipulating our money and draining the middle class of its wealth, so that we will soon have only two classes, the very rich and powerful, and the very poor and, is consequential.
30 years ago, if you had told me that the economy in 30 years is going to collapse and the perpetrators of that collapse are going to be bailed out by the taxpayers to the tune of billions of dollars, I think then I might have thought you're absolutely nuts. People can't be that stupid to allow that to happen. Not that I wouldn't believe these powers that be wouldn't try it, but I can't believe the pitchforks aren't out there right now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, people sense exactly what you're talking about, but they don't understand it. Yeah, two-thirds of the population has been dumbed and numbed down. Give you a good example. A few years back, graduating college seniors were asked, where did this quote come from? From each according to his means and to each according to his needs.
Yeah.
70% of them thought it came from the United States Constitution.
Isn't that sad?
It's because the United States, the federal government has managed to dumb down the public enough and to redefine terms.
Yes.
For example, the public thinks that freedom means not having to make your own decisions because the government is there to make them for you. They think freedom is not having to deal with consequences because FEMA is going to come in and fix it. Guess it make it
yeah,
all better.
And the other part of the freedom, what a lot of people believe is the freedom is the right to go to your local city council and get a legislation passed to regulate your neighbor.
Right. To tell your neighbor that he can't smoke in his house because you might get a whiff of it from time to time.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I wish we had 3 hours, Tom, but we have to break for a few messages. We're talking with Tom Cryer. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Have any questions, comments, observations, give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
The Ron Paul Revolution is alive, well, and accelerating. People from all ages and walks of life have rediscovered freedom and its greatest modern champion, Congressman Ron Paul. As a result of Dr. Paul's campaign for president, many people are choosing opportunity over fear, peace over war, prosperity instead of crippling government debt, honest money instead of rampant inflation, and freedom over stifling regulation. Government isn't the answer. It is the problem. Let's move the revolution forward. Join the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition at our next meeting to advance the Ron Paul Freedom Revolution. We meet at Empty Barrels, 98 West Main Street, which is Route 72, just west of the Fox River in West Dundee, on the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. For more information, call Jared at 224-402-8148. That's 224-402-8148.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Tom Cryer, who is a practicing attorney in Louisiana and has beaten the oppressive and unconstitutional income tax with 2 counts, willful failure to file it, but it's not suggesting that we all just stop filing right now. What are you suggesting, sir, is education right now? Just get everybody informed?
To become informed, to learn your rights, Benjamin Franklin said that a man who doesn't know his rights has none. And Tom Crier, an attorney in Shreveport, Louisiana, said that the only difference between an ignorant man and a slave is that the slave feels his chains.
I've often said that Lincoln may, who actually he didn't, but maybe freed the slaves, but what we exchanged for whips and chains was the Federal Reserve and the income tax.
Well, basically, that's what we did. It was a new form of slavery. Yep. And whenever they own your labor, that's the definition of slavery. And if I decide how much I take and how much I allow you to keep, then I own 100%. I'm controlling 100% of your labor. It doesn't. I mean, just that's to reduce it to common sense.
But and especially then when they control your currency too.
Yeah, absolutely. Take a look at. I mean, I don't know how much time we have here today.
We've got about 5 more minutes.
Okay. Well, we don't want to get into currency, but I think people should educate themselves about that. I'll just the real quick version of it. I'm holding in my pocket a 1923 silver dollar, and it will buy today every bit as much as it would have bought the day it was minted. We haven't had inflation. We've been having people watering down the pot. A Federal Reserve note is worth only about 4 cents. Now, you figure, do the math. If minimum wage is 5 1/4, it may be a little higher now, but 5 1/4, that's equivalent to 21 cents. When I started working, my first job was $6 a day from can to can in a rice field. But my first job where I got a paycheck that was paid by the hour was $1.60 minimum.
Now that was a lot more money, as you say.
Well, in today's Federal Reserve notes, that was $30 an hour.
Wow.
Now $32 an hour. In today's minimum wage of $5.25 FRNs is equivalent to 21 cents. So people are working for a lot bigger numbers, but a lot less buying power than they were when I was working for minimum wage. I could, if I were to make today, you know, a workman making today what the equivalent of what I made in at minimum wage could live well at $32
an hour. And one spouse only would have to work in order to provide for the family, and we wouldn't have the problems I think we have.
You have hit it, the nail on the head. In order for the government to establish a totally totalitarian regime, they have to get rid of, number one, the family. Yeah. They have to make the family secondary in the socialization process to the government. And they have to eliminate higher authorities, because if our creator determines what our rights are, it can't tamper with that. But if there is no creator, then they get to decide what rights we have. And, so they've got to get rid of the church. They've got to get rid of the family. And by creating a situation where both parents are required to work in order to live, they've gone a long ways toward doing that.
Right. And so the government professionals are the ones bringing up our children.
Exactly. And then they come into our education system where they have absolutely no constitutional basis for being with this Department of No Child Allowed Ahead.
Right.
And they tell our children, don't pay attention to your family, to your parents. They're just fuddy-duddies. They don't understand. They're not cool. They don't know. But we, the government, do know. And so, you know, be sure and report if they say something politically correct. Be sure to report to us if they do anything abusive. You know, watch out. And here, by the way, what they've been telling you about sex is wrong, too. And here, have some condoms. Go out and have some fun. Don't worry about this moral stuff.
Yeah, it's all tied together, folks.
It is. It all started back in 19. Well, it started.
Well, I'd say it started with Lincoln myself, but.
Yeah, it did. It started before that. It started in 1819. It started in 1790. The first tax case was a put-up case in order to get a clearance on a tax on carriages. U.S. V. Hilton. In 1819. You had Chief Justice John Marshall that created the Elastic Clause what we now call the elastic clause, that used to be called the necessary proper clause. And he held that necessary didn't mean necessary because it didn't say absolutely necessary. And he held that not delegated in the Tenth Amendment didn't really mean not delegated because it didn't say not expressly delegated. Now, you know, does that sound kind of like current events? So, yeah, it started out, you know, the monster, the minute we injected power into its veins, it started straining and tugging at its chains.
And power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely. That's an absolute truth.
Well, some of my colleagues, Tom, say that the Constitution was a failure and that government's not the answer. Maybe no government is the answer.
Well, look at Somalia right now. They're doing very well without a government. But backing up, you know, now outside Somalia, they're not doing too good. You know, we're having troubles with Somalia, but the Somalians aren't having trouble with it. In the meantime, though, the Constitution is not a failure. We failed the Constitution. The Founding Fathers missed one thing. They should have put in another article describing the duties of the fourth branch of government. They assumed that we would never, ever blink when it came to diligent protection of our rights and our freedom. They assumed the states would stay in as the primary guards. They were thrown out also in 1913 with enactment or the ratification of the 17th Amendment that took the Senate away from the states. Up till that time, the states determined who went to the Senate. Senators represented states' interests.
And it wasn't around 1891 where the court stopped fully informing juries of their power and rights to nullify unjust
laws. Well, it was around that time, I can't say specifically, that the court said, yes, the jury has a right to try both the facts and the law. But the trial judge is not required to inform them of that right. Yeah. Now, everybody in a courtroom is entitled to be told his rights, except the jury.
Except the jury. Yeah, that's
what's wrong with that picture.
Oh, boy. We're talking with Tom Cryer, American hero, and we will be back. Oh, we're not going to be back?
No. No time for
this. No time for a break. Okay, we'll kiss off the last break.
Let me throw out truthattack.org real quick. All right. That's where people can get their education. Go to our law library. Go to our FAQ. look at the site. Check it over and learn something.
Repeat that, Tom.
Truthattack, just like a heart attack, but truthattack.org.
Okay.
O-R-G.
Truthattack.org. Okay, excellent.
We're going to be in front of 1,200 post offices Wednesday night, handing out literature to the freshly blooded victims of this biggest scam in the history of mankind.
I think some people are ready to get educated, Tom. I understand the Chicago Tea Party we're going to have Wednesday downtown at noon. I understand it's going to have a lot of soccer mom types who have never before even considered in their wildest dreams they'd ever go to a protest.
People are more afraid now. I haven't seen this kind of angst among the public since the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
They don't know what it is. At least we knew what we were afraid of then. But they know there's something bad. They just have this sense of something is going wrong, bad wrong. It is.
You're right. It's time to educate. If we really could get just a working minority, maybe it's a third. I believe American Revolution. A third of the people were Tories. A third were patriots, and a third really could be split.
A lot less than that.
Right.
And about 12.5 is what we need to hit in order to reach critical mass. And right now we're probably not more than 1 or 2%. But, you know, if everybody tells everybody, how long does that take to get to 12.5? Not long. It's like the doubling the penny for 30 days. How many million is that?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, double.
To the third, that's two to the 30th, a penny to the 30th power or whatever, or doubling.
That's right. Well, double it. Double it every day for 30 days and see what you
get. Oh, that would be a lot of money. That's what we got to do, and a campaign for liberty moves on. Thank you very much, Tom Cryer, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, and this from Albert Einstein. The hardest thing in the world to understand is the income tax.